we are going to call this sermon, The Invisible Idol, The Visible Man. And as you will see, this will help answer a lot of questions as to what is happening to the Church of God today, and in particularly what is happening to the Worldwide Church of God and all those other churches that have split off from the Worldwide Church of God, because there's definitely a lesson for us, and there's definitely the hand of God now being exercised against Pasadena, California, and Tyler, Texas, in destroying the Worldwide Church of God, and there is a reason. And that reason is the invisible idol, the visible man. Let's begin in Ezekiel 14. And let's understand that the invisible idol is something you set up in your minds. Now, we know we're not to bow down to idols that are made or graven or carved or serve them. We realize that. But God wants us to understand that there is a more deadly idol, that is the invisible idol, which everyone has been bowing down to, and so God's hand of correction is upon the Church of God, very heavy and very hard and very difficult, and it's not going to leave anyone untouched. Everyone is going to have to understand what is going on, know the reasons why it's going on, and then what each one, any of the brethren or ministers, need to do in order to get their lives squared around from this kind of thing. Because it takes two to tangle. Now let's come here to Ezekiel 14 and verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, that is to Ezekiel, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. Now what is the idol that was set up in their hearts? What is the idol that is set up in the hearts of the brethren, set up in the hearts of the ministry, which God is going to cut asunder and absolutely destroy? And it is an idol which cuts you off from God. It is an idol which breeds sin and corruption. That idol is the idol of church authority and hierarchy. And we will see in the Bible how that God clearly told ancient Israel that when they wanted a king, that they rejected God, and then the king became the visible man, and the authority became the invisible idol. Now let's read on. They set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. We're going to see that this kind of church government, this kind of hierarchy, this kind of tyrannical authority is strictly forbidden by Jesus Christ, and that it leads to all of the things that are here in Ezekiel 14. A stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? So if someone has these idols in their mind, if someone says, well, the minister said so, and some have even said, well, if the minister is 99% wrong and the members are 99% right, God is going to uphold the minister because he is the man of God. That is an idol. That is a lie. That is a stumbling block. That is sin. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus says the Lord. Now, these are the words of God, and we need to let them sink deep within our heart so that we understand what God is telling us and how we can come out from all of this tyrannical oppression. Every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idol in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. And that's exactly what God is doing to the Worldwide Church of God. They had a hierarchical authority. The ministers in charge were oppressors. And we will see exactly how that has happened. And everyone would bow down to this idol. So God says, if you come before God, and you've got these idols in your mind, and you have them in your heart, that it's going to cause you to sin and you're going to have a great deal of problem, and he's going to answer you directly, and we are going to see that that's exactly what God is doing to the worldwide church of God. He's answering it directly. We need to learn the lesson. When God had the temple in Jerusalem, that's where he placed his name. When there is sin and corruption and politics and oppression of the brethren, just like we are going to see oppression of the citizens of Israel, God will destroy, and that's what he's doing. Just as he destroyed Jerusalem, he is destroying Pasadena and Tyler, Texas, and will subsequently have many sharp words to say against anyone who dares recreate the idol of the invisible idol and the visible man. He says, verse 5, he's going to do this that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. God is going to judge us according to our own ways, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Now, what does this invisible idol, visible man say today? It's all right that you work on the Sabbath. You don't need to keep the holy days. Go have all the shrimp in the world you want. As a matter of fact, you don't even need the Bible. You don't even need baptism. He's taking them in their own craft and destroying them. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, says the Lord God, repent. And that's what this sermon is. This sermon is a call to repentance for all of those who have participated in this, for all the ministers who have given themselves over to it, for all of those who sit in the seat of authority and abuse it. And he says, return yourselves and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all of your abominations. And have there not been a lot of abominations done in the name of God, in the church of God? Yes, indeed. Every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me. Now notice, we're talking about a personal, individual relationship between the person and God. He's talking to every one of us in particularly. Everyone that separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Now let's pick it up in verse 8 and see what God's warning is. He says, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now let's think about this in relationship to the invisible idol, but we have the visible man, who then proclaims himself to be someone very important, and then everyone bows down to his edicts. And instead of worshiping God, we actually end up worshiping a man. Now, they say they don't, but they're only deceiving themselves because they don't realize the effects of the visible idol, the invisible idol, rather. They see the visible man. Now, God is going to answer everyone. He's going to answer the one who puts himself in that position. He's going to answer everyone else who loves it that way and accepts that kind of thing because God doesn't want it, because he says every man that separates himself. God is going to answer him to his face and will make him a sign and a proverb and will cut him off from the midst of my people. What do you think is happening to Pasadena? They're closing down everything. Is it not a sign and a proverb? Yes, it is. What is happening to all the ministers who held that authority and exercised that authority and used that authority, used that invisible idol over the people? They're going to have all their paychecks cut off. And what is going to happen to Pasadena? It's going to be gone. And what is going to happen to the name of Worldwide Church of God? It'll be a footnote in history. because they will change the name. Because of the invisible idol and the visible man who exercise the authority of the invisible idol. Now let's come to verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, have we not had deceitful doctrines come along now? Now notice, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Why? Because they're not taking the counsel of God. They're not looking into the Word of God to understand the truth. They're looking into the Word of God to break the commandments and laws of God, to turn the people back to sin. So God has deceived him. Have you heard some of the sermons coming out of these churches where they still have the invisible idol and the visible man? Deception. Lies. And that includes Philadelphia Church of God and Global Church of God and any other Church of God that still retains the invisible idol and has the visible man. Now, we'll focus more on those on the next sermon concerning the Global Church of God and the Philadelphia Church of God. But you can understand this, that God is not going to let them go unpunished. Now, let's continue. I have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. And the punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that speaks unto him. And the house of Israel, we can just put there the church of God, may no more go astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, that they may be my people, and that I may be their God, says the Lord. Now that's what God wants from the church of God. It is structured on completely the wrong and fallacious structure. Let's go back to Exodus 19, and let's see what God wants it to be. Now, there have been some people who have slanderously said of me and the Christian Biblical Church of God that we don't believe in any organization and any structure. Yes, we do, but we want to do that the way God wants it. We have learned our lesson. We have been burned. We have gone through the valley of death, so to speak. God does not want that kind of structure. And we're going to see exactly what that kind of structure is and exactly what that kind of structure does. But first, we need to understand what is it that God wants from us. Now, let's pick it up here, Exodus 19 and verse 4. You have seen what I've done unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and have brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you, that's collective you, all individuals, will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So then God gave the law, and immediately after the giving of the Ten Commandments, the people began to insulate themselves from God. Now, that's not what God wants us to do in the Church of God today. He does not want us to insulate ourselves from God. He wants to come and dwell in us. So after the giving of the Ten Commandments, chapter 20 and verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off, and they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." So they had to give themselves a little insulation from God. And I'm here to tell you that the wrong structure in church government and the wrong authority by the ministry has put the ministry between the people and God and has given the insulation. And it goes one step further. Now, let's come to Let's come to the book of Judges and see how God wanted everything to be. As we're turning to the book of Judges, let me mention that you cannot go to Exodus 18, where then Israel was organized in such a way when they were a marching camp with the captains of tens and fifties and hundreds. God did not organize the nation that way. That was only for the time that they were in the wilderness and that they were being guided by God directly, but everything was so close. It was a camp, so you had to have that kind of organization. So that's not how to organize a church. God did not give that for the church. God never even kept that with the children of Israel at all whatsoever. Now in Judges, the second chapter, and verse 6, we have a very interesting lesson for us, and we're going to see that part of the punishment of wanting to insulate yourself from God and wanting to have a different kind of government than God wants you to have, that it leads to sin. Now, God set it up with the elders running Israel. You had Joshua and then the elders. Now, let's see what happened here. You don't find captains of 1,000, captains of 10, and so forth. That is reserved for our only army-type situations. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now, we're going to see that when you follow the visible man, and you still have this invisible idol in your mind, as long as the man is righteous, then the people obey. But when the man is not righteous, then the people disobey. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of God, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. Now let's come down here to verse 10. And so all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which God had done for Israel. Now we're seeing that same thing happen in the church today, aren't we? We are seeing a great division between those who knew God's way and it was taught properly, but now have suffered from the oppression of the invisible idol, the visible man. They are still trying to retain that which is right. But there's another generation coming up within the churches of God that are going to do exactly what the children of Israel did here. As soon as you realize how corrupt that it is, people throw up their hands and say, "This can't be right," and walk back into the world. Or the whole church, part of the punishment and the deception that is coming, that the whole church for its punishment is being dragged back into the world, doctrinally, spiritually, morally, and every other way. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. That's exactly what's happening with all these new doctrines coming down. It's nothing more than modern-day Baalism and Asherism. It's going back to the same thing. Sunday worship, Christmas worship, Easter worship, and that is old ancient Baalism. Exactly what it is. And what happens when you do that? And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them up out of Egypt, and followed after other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, God is angry with the church of God today, and his correction is coming. It's already at hand. It's well enforced and coming way down the road to where we are going to see the worldwide church of God completely destroyed for the sins of its invisible idol and the visible man. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. You just go through all the book of Judges. And it says, and again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Every generation, and again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, until you come clear to the end of the book of Judges in the very last verse. And this sounds like a solution. It is a solution, but it is the wrong solution. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own sight. The solution, as we will see, is not the king. The solution, as we will see, is individual repentance from everyone returning back to God. Because, as we will see, the king actually cut people off from God. Now let's go to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and let's see what happened here. Let's see how things progressed, and let's see what occurred. Okay, 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. Now this is when the people came and said to Samuel, "We don't want you, your sons are corrupt, we want a king." So all the elders, verse 4, gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramoth and said to them, "Behold, you're old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Now I want you to understand all the nations, because Jesus has something to say about that in the New Testament, in relationship to the church, in relationship to the church leaders, beginning with the apostles. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all they have said to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them." So now they have the visible man, but they also have the invisible idol, because they don't want God ruling over them. And that's exactly what is happening in the Church of God today. There are people who want God to rule over them, but they have been so used to the invisible idol and the visible man that they're at a loss as to what to do. They don't know how to recover themselves out of this. But here's what it is. The truth is, the monarchy in Israel and Judah was a step removed from God. And as we are going to see, whenever you have that same kind of authority within a church of God based upon a monarchy or a monarchical or hierarchical system, it is a step away from God. And it leads to all kinds of sins and corruptions, as we will see with the children of Israel and their kingship. So God says, now you see, if you want to do wrong, God will let you do wrong. If you want to have the wrong government and you submit to it, God will let you do it. If you want to exercise the wrong kind of government, God will let you do it. Because you see, your own sins will find you out and it's going to collapse in its own corruption. Is not worldwide Church of God collapsing in its own corruption and now its own doctrinal error going back into the world? Yes, because they didn't seek to please God, they sought to please the world. Now let's continue on here. He said that they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they even unto you. Now therefore, listen to their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of king that will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself and for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over 50. Now he's going to organize it in a militaristic way, and he will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take of your fields and of your vineyards and of your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them unto his servants. Did not that happen in the Church of God? Did they not take the tithe and oppress the people and tyrannize them and steal from them and build mansions and castles and give them to the princes, that is the high-ranking ministers within the church, and paid them salaries hundreds of thousands of dollars? And did they not live like kings? And did they not have great, huge, palatial houses to live in? And did they not say that they deserved all of this? And he will take the tenth of your seed, so they had another tithe added on to him, and of your vineyards, and will give it to his officers and to his servants, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them in his work, and will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in the day because of your king, which you have chosen you, and the Lord your God will not hear you in that day. Now, there are a lot of people saying, well, we're praying to God that he's going to straighten this out in Pasadena. God is not hearing. God is not answering. Neither will he. It is so evil and so repugnant that God is going to destroy it. You cannot save it, and there's a biblical principle in the New Testament. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. You can't put the truth of God back into that corrupt and evil way. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, nay, but we will have a king reign over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice, to their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go you every man to his city and to his house. Now when it came time to appoint the king, let's turn to chapter 10. And verse 18. So he gathered them all there, and Samuel said these words, and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and all them that oppressed you. Now you think about that in relationship to your life. God called you, God forgave your sins, God lifted you up out from it, and then what happened? You went and put yourself under the authority of men who oppressed you. Verse 19, and you have this day rejected your God. I have a question. How can you take a system that has rejected God and use that as the authority within the church? How can you take a monarchical and a hierarchical system and say that you have God's structure, when you don't even know the fundamental truth that a monarchical and hierarchical structure is rejecting God? Now, that's why it was doomed to destruction. And that is why we are going to see that God is actually fighting against the worldwide Church of God. And we're going to see that God is going to fight against global, and God is going to fight against Philadelphia Church of God, and any other church that bears the name of God that will not conform to the words of Jesus Christ and teach the truth of the New Testament and the truth of church government within the Church of God. God does not want this kind of thing. And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and all your tribulations, and you have said unto him, no, but set a king over us. And a lot of you, brethren, you gave up your will. You gave up your will to the visible man because you were willing to bow to the invisible idol of that authority. And many of the brethren checked their brains in at the door when they came into Sabbath services, didn't they? Yes, whatever the minister says. That's what they were saying here. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And so then Saul was set up as king. Was he a failure? Yes, Saul was a failure. Now, let's come down here to verse 25 of 1 Samuel 10. Then Samuel told the people the manner of a king and wrote it in a book. Now notice what he did with it. And laid it up before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Now let's see what Samuel wrote. Samuel actually wrote what we find in Deuteronomy 17, which was later edited into Deuteronomy 17 by Ezra when he canonized the Bible. Now, if they wanted that system, God still gave a checkpoint here. So let's go to Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. Now, God says, when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you shall possess it, and you shall dwell therein, and you shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. And that's precisely what they asked for. You shall not in any wise set a king over you, whom the Lord shall in any wise set a king over you, whom the Lord your God shall choose from one among your brethren, and shall set him king over you. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not of your brother. But, now he gives some instructions to the king. He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more to that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now you need to ask the question, how come all of those at the hierarchy, the high-level ministers, were paid such heavy salaries and accumulated to themselves silver and gold? God says, if you're going to have a monarchical system, you're not to do that, because then you get lifted up over your brethren. And it shall be, when he sits in the throne of his kingdom. Now we have one man who calls himself the presiding evangelist today. Isn't that something? Over what? Is he a king? No, God does not like the monarchical hierarchical system. We're going to see what God did with it. And he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. He's to write, personally handwrite, the book of the law. Out of that which is before the priest the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law, of this law, and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. So God was even saying, with the monarchical system, I still do not want the hierarchy of high-ranking people lording it over the children of Israel. But you see, when you have a king, he has absolute authority. And when you have someone who has absolute authority, what do you have? You have evil and corruption and every sin that comes along, because they are easily deceived and they are an easy target for Satan the devil. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he should not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now the exact opposite of that happened. Now let's go back and look at the life of David for a real good instruction here. Let's come to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and let's see how David started out. Very instructive for us, because the worldwide Church of God started out pretty much this way. Humble, small beginning, not lifted up in arrogance and vanity, not calling themselves the one and the only, not calling its leader as the great only apostle of God on the earth, but they started out very much like David, the least, the forgotten. So when Samuel was sent to find out who the next king would be after Saul had failed, God sent him to the house of Jesse, and here's what we had here. Let's come to verse 6 of 1 Samuel 16. He wanted to find whom the one that God was going to appoint. So it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab, that was the eldest son of Jesse, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not to his countenance, nor to the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, but for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So then he made all of his sons pass by twice, and God said, no, this is not the one. So then he looked at Jesse, and he says, do you have another son? Oh, yeah, I've got this little son, David, out there tending the sheep. He said, bring him in. So when he brought him in, verse 12, and he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. Now, what happened when David was still small in his own eyes? Just exactly what it was with Saul. He was successful. Then God was with David. He destroyed all the enemies round about. He set him in his kingdom. He brought together all of the 12 tribes so that we would have the full 12 tribes of the children of Israel. God gave him rest from all of his enemies round about. He had consolidated his power, and now he was king. But now he was ready for corruption. Because everyone who sits in a monarchical position and lets all of that authority go to his head, and will not humbly yield to the word of God and submit to the word of God and live by it, and exalts himself over the brethren, is going to corrupt himself. Now, they can be corrupted because of the sin of sex, can be corrupted because of the lust of money, can be corrupted because of the lust of power. And when the king is sitting there, and when the minister sits there and makes himself the presiding evangelist or whatever he may be, and he takes to himself the absolute authority of God to himself, he's sitting in the seat of God. And God does not want that. God will not have that invisible idol sitting in the seat of God in the form of a visible man. So you know what happened with David. David then got all entangled with Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, killed Uriah the Hittite, her husband, and then thought he could get away with it because he had this authority. He lied to himself. He lied to the people. And have we not had that within the Church of God? Yes. We've had the very top leaders lie to us over and over and over and over again. And what has happened? It got more corrupt and more corrupt and more corrupt and more corrupt. And finally, God had to say, this is enough. Big vomit session takes place. Big correction session takes place. But they still did not learn, just like David. So we know that God sent Nathan the prophet, 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and verse 7. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. Now we're going to read the judgment against David, but we're also, I want you to think of this as the judgment against the worldwide Church of God today. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that would have been too little, I would moreover have given unto them such and such, given to you such and such things. God would have given anything. But David now, he says in verse 9, wherefore have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Now we're going to see that some of the most important scriptures in the New Testament have been rejected, neglected, and despised. And so God's judgment came upon the Church of God. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And yes, and God is doing that to the Church of God. You just take those words and you apply them to the church. where they took authority to themselves. They took the money. They took the license. They took the greed and all of this and just built their own little empire, didn't they? Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Now, there's some who have split away from worldwide, and the sword is still in their house because they haven't repented. And God says, verse 11, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. You did this thing secretly. I will do this before all Israel and before the sun. You know, Jesus Christ said that that which is spoken in secret will be shouted from the housetop.